From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, August 14th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started officially with
the Daily Danagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. And this one comes to us from the late, great John Lennon, who said, "Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans." So true. So, don't make plans. And maybe life will just leave you alone. Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Big stuff.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Important.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Sure, like that's ever going to happen. All right, kids, on this day in 1935... President Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act, creating a government pension system for the retired. However, it's far more effective as a tool for campaigning for public office than it is as a means for living after retirement. If you can call that living. And it was on this day in 1948, Beaver Drop, an Idaho Department of Fish and Game program to relocate beavers from northwestern Idaho to the Chamberlain Basin in central Idaho, got underway. The program involved parachuting beavers into the Chamberlain Basin. But first, each beaver had to attend 4 weeks of paratrooper school. Turned out they weren't very good students.
That's just stupid!
Bad enough that the other night they tried to censor Elon Musk's broadcast on X, his own platform. And the broadcast, of course, being the two-hour interview that he did with Donald Trump. But there were attempts to prevent that broadcast from taking place. But fortunately for us conservatives, Elon Musk owns his own network of satellites. So the show went on, but there was that attempt. And you know, here, the left always keeps crowing about the fact that the greatest threat to democracy is MAGA. Okay. And of course, here again, that holds with the tradition on the left, and that is they always accuse us of doing what they, in fact, are doing. I'm still pretty pissed over this whole thing with Kamala Harris stealing Donald Trump's idea from 2 months earlier. You know, the dropping the taxes on tips. And let's just forget for a moment what that's going to do to the tax income of the country. Do I think that service workers in the entertainment industry and the restaurant industry should get a break from taxes? Yes, I think they should. But eliminate the tax altogether? I don't know. That's a topic for another time. The point here is we and our culture, our Western culture, our Judeo-Christian culture is under constant attack from the left. And that was never made more apparent than with the Olympics, the disgusting opening ceremonies at the Olympics. And then, of course, the Olympic Committee was playing dumb. Oh, we didn't know they were going to do that. Yeah, sure. You know, the Last Supper thing with all the transvestites. Absolutely disgusting. And then, of course, the next most disgusting, or perhaps even the most disgusting display in the Olympics was the man who only took 46 seconds to knock the complete sense and knock the fire out of that poor Italian female boxer. You know, by any other standards, that was a man in the ring with her. A man trying to pass himself off as a woman, but that was a man. And these people who insist that there are more than two genders, they're the ones who are insane, and yet they're trying to make you feel like you're the one who's insane. And this behavior is going to continue indefinitely until the day we finally grow a pair, pardon the expression, and put our feet down and say, no, this is bullcorn, and we're not going to play that game. Well, give you another example. Renowned evolutionary biologist, fellow by the name of Richard Dawkins. You probably are familiar with his name. And now he finds himself at the center of a heated controversy after his Facebook account was permanently deleted. And the ban happened earlier this month. It appears to be linked to a series of posts that Dawkins made that that regard the inclusion of athletes with male chromosomes in women's boxing at the Olympics. Now, Dawkins is a longtime advocate for science and free speech, and he voiced opinions that have ignited a much broader debate about the limits of acceptable discourse on social media platforms, those that'll permit him. Now, Dawkins' Facebook ban came shortly after he posted his thoughts on a controversial bout, the one we're talking about, between the Italian boxer Angela Carini and Algerian boxer Imane Khalif. Now, Khalif, who'd previously been disqualified from other competitions due to failing gender eligibility tests, went up against Carini in that match that ended with Carini quitting just 46 seconds into the fight. Now, Dawkins expressed concern that athletes like Khalif, who he described as genetically male, shouldn't be allowed to compete against biological women due to the inherent physical advantages associated with male chromosomes. And he is not the only one voicing that opinion. But the removal of Dawkins' Facebook account is, I don't know, that's it's criminal. I realize that Zuckerberg owns the platform. I understand that. But the fact that he's just allowed to at random kick this guy Dawkins off the platform completely. I don't know. I'm having a rough time wrapping my brain around that. I'm sure you can tell. But fortunately, it has sparked outrage. Here again, it's like Newton's law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And if Zuckerberg, who perceives himself to be God Almighty, or at least appears to, if Zuckerberg is going to do something like this, kick a guy like Dawkins off the platform permanently, then maybe Zuckerberg would do wise to give some thought to the reaction. And it has sparked nothing short of outrage among Dawkins supporters, many of whom view the action as a blatant example of censorship, which is exactly what it is. Dawkins himself took to X to express his disbelief, noting that no official reason was provided by Facebook for the detention of his account. But they don't have to. There is no law saying that they have to tell you why they're doing it. They just do it. That's it. He said, "My entire Facebook account has been deleted, seemingly no reason given, because I posted that genetically male boxers such as Imane Khalif should not fight women in the Olympics. Of course, my opinion is open to civilized argument, but outright censorship?" Well, I'm with you, Mr. Dawkins. The incident has raised a lot of concerns about the suppression of free speech on social media platforms, particularly when it comes to discussing sensitive or politically charged topics. In other words, if they don't agree with you, they're going to erase you. They're going to eliminate you. They're going to do what they used to do in the old Soviet Union. They're going to turn you into what they used to refer to as a non-person. In other words, you're being canceled. Now, critics of Facebook's decision argue that the platform, which was once heralded as a bastion of free expression, has increasingly silenced voices that challenge mainstream narratives. Now, this case, they argue, by the way, let me backtrack for a second. This reference of Facebook once having been a bastion of free expression, that was only in the very beginning. It didn't take long for censorship to take hold over there at Facebook. And it's always been there. Now, this case, critics argue, is emblematic of a broader trend where dissenting opinions on issues related to gender and sex are met with harsh penalties rather than open debate, because they're afraid to debate us because they know they're wrong. And what better way to get rid of your opposition than to just kick you off the platform? And for some reason, the conservative platforms, there was one out for a while. In fact, I think it's still there. It's called MeWe, capital M-E, capital W-E, MeWe. And it was established to give the voiceless a voice, but the voiceless aren't using it. And there are other platforms. There's Rumble. There's Truth Social. And Truth Social is getting a little bit of a, getting some traction. It's growing some legs, but that's only because Donald Trump's money is behind it. Okay? So, supporters of Dawkins, including a lot of prominent figures in the scientific and academic communities, have rallied to his defense, thank goodness, and they're arguing that Dawkins' comments, while controversial, nobody's disputing that, are grounded in scientific reasoning and should be protected under the principle of free speech. Instead, they're over there on the left yelling, "Heretic, heretic, heretic." Now, he's long been a polarizing figure due to his outspoken atheism and his willingness to challenge societal norms, but his followers believe that banning him for expressing his views crosses a dangerous line. And believe me, Facebook didn't kick Dawkins off because he's an atheist. You think that Zuckerberg and company give a hoot in hell about religious belief? They don't. So the controversy surrounding Dawkins' ban also throws some light on the ongoing debate over the participation of transgender and intersex athletes in competitive sports. Still a hot issue. It's always going to be a hot button issue. The issue has become increasingly contentious as more athletes who don't fit traditional definitions of male and female seek to compete in gendered categories. Why don't they just establish a category for those people who are between male and female? You know, like Pat on Saturday Night Live. Proponents of inclusion argue that these athletes should be allowed to compete in the category that aligns with their gender identity, while opponents, like Dawkins, argue that biological differences give some athletes an unfair advantage. And as the debate rages on, and it is going to continue to rage, that's the only word that adequately describes what's going on here. As this debate rages on, Facebook's decision to ban one of the most prominent voices in the scientific community has only fueled further controversy. So while the platform hasn't provided a detailed explanation for its actions, the incident has sparked a broader discussion about the role of social media companies in regulating speech and the potential dangers of overreach. I know this was never in Zuckerberg's mind when he conceived the idea of Facebook. He never thought about this stuff. Yeah, he's smart, being that smart. And for now, Dawkins remains without his Facebook account, but the conversation he started shows no signs of slowing down. The banning of Richard Dawkins from Facebook is more than just the silencing of a controversial figure. It represents a critical moment in the ongoing battle over free speech and the control of discourse in what we're living in, the digital age. You would have to have been living under a very heavy rock not to know that there have been some real violent riots over in Great Britain. Let me remove that word great. Britain is not so great anymore. They're just Britain or the UK. And they've been Muslim rioters. And they have been killing groups of people, stabbings, you just name it. And the Muslims are running amok in the UK right now. This stuff has happened before. It'll happen again. And it'll subside again for a while. But you have to ask the question, what the hell is going on in in Britain. Because you got these rioters taking to the streets, huge gangs of Muslims continuing to commit these crimes, go on killing sprees. And who's British law enforcement going after? They're going after Elon Musk. Oh, yeah. They want to extradite. You got this police chief over there in the UK. What the heck is his name? Do they have his name here? It just says London Met Police Chief. They're quoting him. It says, whether you're in this country committing crimes on the streets or committing crimes from further afield online, we will come after you. And then he goes on to seemingly threaten Elon Musk specifically. He wants to extradite Elon Musk and prosecute him in the UK. That arrogant SOB. Need we remind the UK that we broke away from the UK a couple of centuries ago and formed our own country? And then we had to bail their miserable asses out during World War II. I don't find anything funny about this attitude. If you want to go after somebody, Mr. Police Chief, London Police Chief, why don't you go after the people who are rioting? Why don't you go after the unruly Muslims who broke into your country, intimidated you into giving them a place to live over there? They own the East End of London. There are no go zones in the East End of London. Did you know that? And it's been the case for several years. The Brits failed to do anything about it. Mark Rowley is his name. Thank you. Met Police Commissioner Mark Rowley. He's threatening to extradite and imprison. He wants to imprison American citizens over online posts. Well, good luck with that, pal. Then again, with the Harris administration, because that's what it is, it's no longer the Biden administration, with the Harris administration, I wouldn't put it past her to allow the extradition of Americans exercising their First Amendment rights. Now, here's the way the Daily Wire out of Nashville reported it. I like the Daily Wire. Good bunch. They said, a British police commissioner suggested he was willing to arrest Elon Musk, who is a U.S. citizen, for highlighting the extreme acts of violence and riots committed by Muslim gangs in England in online posts on his platform, X. British Met Police Commissioner Mark Rowley said during a recent interview, we will throw the full force of the law at people, and whether you're in this country committing crimes on the streets or committing crimes from further afield online, we will come after you. Rowley's remarks come amid ongoing protests and riots in the United Kingdom in response to the killing of three young girls during a mass stabbing attack that left several more injured. A reporter asked Rowley about high-profile figures who were allegedly whipping up the hatred that he was claiming was happening online. The reporter said, I'm even thinking of the likes of Elon Musk getting involved. What are you considering when it comes to dealing with people who are whipping up this kind of behavior from behind a keyboard and maybe in a different country? Rowley responded, being a keyboard warrior does not make you safe from the law. You can be guilty of offenses of incitement, of stirring up racial hatred. There are numerous terrorist offenses regarding the sort of publishing of material. All of those offenses are in play if people are provoking hatred and violence on the streets, and we'll come after those individuals just as we will physically confront on the streets the thugs and the yobs who are taking, who are causing the problems for communities. So this is just a baseless, ridiculous threat, right? Probably not. The Western Journal, another great publication, did a great job breaking down the implications. Listen to this. This is how they did it. Thus, we have Sir Mark Rowley, head of the Metropolitan Police, telling Sky News that he's absolutely willing to extradite keyboard warriors who run afoul of authorities. And then quoting him, they said, we will throw the full force of the law at people, and whether you're in this country committing crimes on the streets or committing crimes from further afield online, we will come after you. So in other words, that's what he just said earlier. So I don't know. He's going to try. Is he really going to try to extradite Elon Musk? I'd love him to try that. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. But we live in an insane world right now. We really do. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, here again, if you're like me, you're watching it as though it's some kind of a show. Because to me, that's what it is. It's just a show. You know, which side can intimidate the other side better? That's pretty much it. But anyhow, Europe has drafted a letter. Actually, they sent the letter. And it was warning Elon Musk. Now, by Europe, I assume it's the European Union. Okay, I don't have a copy of the letter, but I just have the story here. But yeah, basically what they're doing is they're trying to intimidate Elon Musk. They were trying to intimidate him into censoring the Donald Trump interview that he did on X. Well, the interview went off without a hitch. Thank goodness. There was an attempt to crash it, but it didn't work because Elon Musk owns his own equipment. So from the get-go, he's already got him outclassed. I love that. It's going to be fun to watch this, though. But yeah, apparently the European Union, I guess it was, drafted some kind of a letter trying to intimidate him. They don't know him very well, do they? I'm no fan of the mainstream media, that's for sure. But when they do a good job on something, I don't mind passing it along. And in this case, we're talking about CBS and one of their star reporters, investigative reporter, Catherine Herridge, who used to be with Fox. And she obtained some internal documents revealing allegations of retaliation by Customs and Border Protection. And this is against whistleblowers who exposed a stunning agency failure. Now, the controversy centers around the agency's purported refusal to implement a critical public safety law involving DNA collection from detainees accused of immigration violations. Now, this is a lapse that whistleblowers, vocal whistleblowers, claim has compromised American safety. Now, the leaked government memo detailed accusations that CBP retaliated against employees who exposed the agency's intentional decade-long failure to enforce the DNA Fingerprint Act of 2005. Now, the law mandates the collection of DNA samples from non-U.S. persons detained on immigration charges to bolster public safety and aid criminal investigations. Now, the whistleblowers, they have names. There's Mark Jones, Fred Wynn, and Michael Taylor. And they bring a collective 69 years of law enforcement expertise to the table. And each of them has been granted top secret clearances, including sensitive compartmented information, which protects highly sensitive sources and methods. And their respective tenures are 20, 18, and 31 years. So in an exclusive interview with Herridge, the three of them said that the failures of CBP have directly contributed to preventable American deaths. You may know about some of them. We had one here locally, a 12-year-old girl in the Houston area who was murdered by two illegal aliens. Raped first and then murdered. A 12-year-old. Now, whistleblowers claim that had the law been properly enforced, numerous violent offenders might have been apprehended sooner, potentially preventing crimes, including the case, a very high-profile case of 37-year-old Maryland woman killed by a suspect who they say could have been stopped had his DNA been collected during previous detentions. So, in the interview, Herridge asked, are you alleging that Homeland Security's failure to comply with the DNA collection law may have been a contributing factor in Rachel Morin's death? And Fred Wynn said, it may have been a contributing factor, yes. And then she shot back. She says, no question in your mind? He said, none. Had the subject had DNA taken the first time they were encountered, there would have been an instant possibility that any future criminal activity would have been stopped immediately, and there was definite potential for the individual to be apprehended. Again, that's Fred Wynn. So, Herridge reported, she says, our investigation reveals a disturbing picture of systematic non-compliance and apparent disregard for mandated legal protocols designed to protect the public. So according to the documents, nearly 70% of border encounters since 2010 have neglected the required DNA collections, potentially allowing around 950,000 violent offenders to remain unidentified. Now, that timeline is very important because it was 2009 when Barack Obama took the White House. And it was shortly after that, all of a sudden, we started having these problems of people pouring in over the border. And there didn't seem to be a whole lot of concern on the part of the White House. Well, the allegations since then, and they've been made numerous times, are that, well, the Democrats are doing this because they see every illegal alien as a potential Democrat voter. Now, how much truth there is to that, I don't know. But it sounds somewhat logical. But clearly, there is a pattern. There was a pattern during the Obama administration. There's a pattern right now during the Harris-Biden administration that's an open border. And they want it left open. Now, the internal memo also described a hostile work environment for those who have tried to bring these issues to light, including threats of bankruptcy, forced resignation, or worse. In other words, suicide. These are retaliatory tactics on the part of the agency. The agency's goal is to bankrupt you, to make you quit, die, kill yourselves, or basically, preferably, all of the above. And that was a sentiment that was expressed by all three whistleblowers. Now, since the Biden and Harris administration took office in 2021, Homeland Security data indicates that there have been over 10 million border encounters. Those are the encounters. What about the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, who came across and weren't encountered? That key word, encounter. So Mike Taylor, another one of the whistleblowers, added, he says, ultimately, the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security is responsible. We know that he's been notified of the noncompliance. They've done so with impunity. Yeah. So this guy, Mayorkas, is a clown. He's a complete clown. He's a complete mockery of the American legal system. Now, these whistleblowers who dared to speak out against the misconduct have faced some pretty harsh backlash since 2023, with their careers hanging by a thread, of course. And after exposing wrongdoing, they've endured demotions, lost their law enforcement credentials and firearms. They've grappled with hostile work environments, naturally. And the treatment appeared aimed at silencing them, tarnishing their reputations, and derailing their careers. And that's according to Senator Chuck Grassley's office. And just as a reminder, Mr. Grassley is an Iowan, and he is a Republican. Deep state. It's far deeper than you could even imagine. Brandon Vestal returns to the Comedy Corner because he's funny.
I'm not a political guy. I can't get in. It's just exhausting to me. It seems like just ugh. But I have picked up on this. I'm living in California. If you're a Republican in California, you better keep that to yourself. Woo-wee. They hate Republicans. They don't hate anything more than Republicans in Cal. Republicans, they're not even real people. They're like these mythical creatures that hide in the bushes. They'll snatch up your kids and force them to get a job. There's an app in California that tells you if Republicans live in your neighborhood. I've seen it. There's little elephant heads on the houses. I feel sorry for Republicans. It's rough for them out there. They can't slip up. They got to hide all the time. They can't say what they mean. They can't one day be with their California friends and be like, you know what? I think life begins at conception. I'm like, what? What'd you just say? I said, I love paying for other people's contraceptives. Uh-huh. If you know your history of the Republicans in California, they used to have a big, it was a proud party. And it was a big, major party in California. And I know for a fact what's left of the Republican Party in California meets in secret in the San Fernando Valley in old attics that are too small to stand up straight in. And they just rant to each other because that's all they have left. They're like, you know what? I think if we just lower that corporate tax rate a little bit more to get more businesses coming back to America, get more businesses started, therefore more people will be working, and then more people will be paying in to the taxes, and then we'll be able to sustain the entitlements for the people who really need them. And you know what else, guys? I like black people. Well, yeah, I like black people too. Why do they keep saying that about us? I like black people. Like, you know any black people? No.
That's it. Make it a great Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.